Lots of folk who attend the morning session
don't feel like going back for the evening meeting. But I believe that it is good for us to be here. And you share that view because you are here. And best of all, we do believe that the Lord is here. He has given us an assurance in His holy word that where two or three gather in His name, there am I in the midst of them. So He tells us, and we believe it. Now, I have in my heart a portion from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And just before I read that scripture, verses 1 to 11, before I read, let me say that at the Fort Lauderdale Bible Chapel, we gather like you do on a Wednesday evening for prayer meeting. That's your prayer meeting night, is it? We gather for prayer. And seldom do we have a prayer meeting without one of our brethren praying for the Hollywood Assembly and for the Boulevard Assembly and the other assemblies in the South Florida area. And I would solicit your prayers on behalf of Fort Lauderdale Bible Chapel. I won't take the time to go into any details concerning the meeting there, but the Assembly of God's People in Fort Lauderdale is in need of the prayer support of God's people here. So keep it in mind. I appreciate your prayers on my behalf, those of you who remember to pray for me and for my dear wife. Sometimes we have difficulties, some health problems, and you may have heard on a couple of occasions during the past few years, on a few occasions, both my wife and I, at different times, have been hospitalized for short periods of time. And some folk wonder, well, what's wrong with him? And one dear brother was asked, a brother from the assembly, what's wrong with Brother Hart? I hear he's in the hospital. He says, I don't know, but I think it's a throat problem. Well, it's not a throat problem. Those of you who have a little understanding of the medical profession will understand when I tell you just one word. Adhesions. That has bugged me all my life. Since I was 7 years of age, I had a ruptured appendix, and it has given me a hard time practically all my life. Flaring up every now and again. But, thank the Lord, you will observe I'm still on my feet. You will observe that I'm still able, at least I don't see the folk who, oh yes, they're here. The folk with whom we had dinner today, I was able to enjoy a good meal, and thank you. I appreciate that. And God has been very good to us, very gracious. Both my wife and I have little heart problems, as many of you do, and other ailments here and there. But we have a great God, a great, big, wonderful God. And day by day, He shows Himself strong on our behalf. And He keeps us providing for us and blessing us in ways that are even past our finding out. A dear friend of ours, who went to be with the Lord up there in Toronto, Canada, he recently passed away. After his decease, his son went to the memorial service and he carried his dad's old Bible. He opened that Bible and he read on the fly leaf of the Bible in his father's own handwriting, "My prayer." And the words are these, "Lord, keep me going till I'm gone. Keep me going till I'm gone." And when I heard of his prayer, I said, well, that's my prayer too, asking the Lord to give the needed strength and grace and wisdom and make the provision necessary to keep me going till I'm gone. So I trust that you too will be kept by the power of God, steadfast and unmovable. So many are being shaken and moved, blown about by every wind of doctrine, but it's a wonderful thing to be stabilized and kept by God's power, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Having said this, or that, let me say this. When I was about 8 years of age, growing up in the big bad city of New York, I attended the Grace Gospel Chapel Assembly on 133rd Street, Harlem. I know one or two of you know just where that is. Harlem, New York. We are getting ready for a Sunday school Christmas program. And my Sunday school teacher gave me a poem that I had to memorize. And my brother also had a little poem to memorize. We were to say at this function at the Grace Gospel Chapel just around Christmas time. So we go to that function. And when my brother's turn came to say his piece, he goes up to the platform and he gives a royal salute. But then he didn't say anything. His teacher tried to prompt him with the first few words of the first line of the poem that he's supposed to have recited. Don't you know your poem? Don't you know your part? Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, aren't you going to say it? Yes. Then the teacher says, when are you going to say it? And he replied, last night. Last night we had the practice, you know. So I'm going to say it last night. Well, couldn't get him to say it. But he gave another salute. And he came down. To a tremendous applause. Everybody seemed to think he did well. He did well with the salute. But he surely didn't do anything with the piece that he was to memorize or had memorized. All right. It comes my time to go up, and I had a piece to say. And I thought that I did well. Of course, I was conceited. But I mumbled through the few lines. I can tell you what it was I was given to say. We will travel together. I have a wonderful treasure. God's great gift without measure. And we will travel together. My dear Bible and I. But my coordination with the Bible and I, it didn't click too well. And I suppose my voice wasn't loud enough. I don't know just what I did wrong. I wasn't aware of doing anything out of order. But yet when I was coming down, gave my little salute and came down, I didn't get much of an applause. The people just didn't think much about what I had to give them. So I talked to my brother about it afterwards, and he says to me, you know something? I did much better than you. That's why I got a big chair. I did much better than you did. So I told him, I said, sometimes it pays to be stupid. See? Well, that years passed. But you know, I've always thought about that recitation I learned when I was a small child. I have a wonderful treasure. Actually, I have had many wonderful treasures, different editions of the same book, but I brought it with me today. A wonderful treasure. God's great gift without measure. We will travel together. My dear Bible and I believe you know that chorus, don't you? And then the other part of it, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. So may God grant that we will always stand firm on the Word of the living God. Because that Word abideth forever. Our Lord tells us heaven and earth may pass away, but His Word shall not pass away. It is indestructible. our forefathers, I once heard that they ascended to heaven on ladders of fire, literally burnt at the stakes in defense of the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Thank God for giving us His Word, which the psalmist tells us, is a lamp to my feet, and it's a light to my path. If we didn't have it, perhaps we would believe the theories of modern men who tell us about our ancestors from the animal kingdom, etc., etc. But thank God for the book. A man lay on his deathbed, and he says to his sons, "Bring me the book." They didn't know what book he was referring to. "Bring me the book." A couple of them thought he was referring to his bank book. But when they showed him the bank book, he says, "No, I want the only book that I could live by and not that I could die by. I want somebody to read something from the book." So we thank God for the book. We have the book. You know, one of the things that I have on my heart is to pray for those ministries that print, that publish, that circulate the Holy Scriptures throughout the nations of the world. I am informed by a dear brother who gave us a little talk on the ministry of the Gideons recently. He informed us that the Gideons have ministries in 175 countries of the world. And they do a great work. Pray for them, the Gideons. Pray also for American Bible Society. Pray for Wycliffe Bible Translators. Pray for the British and Foreign Bible Society. They do a wonderful work. We used to deal with them when we were serving the Lord of the island of Jamaica, getting thousands of copies of Holy Scripture for the school system on the island of Jamaica. Now, do you remember the scripture I told you I'm going to read from? Luke. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. This morning we were in Mark chapter 16, and this evening we're looking at a passage in Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him, the Lord Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. This is a very important procedure, a necessary duty for fishermen who expect to be successful in their labors, washing the nets. Because if the net is dirty or clogged with debris, they will not be very successful catching fish. So they were out of the boats and washing their nets. And he entered into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the boat. I believe we can picture that scene, Jesus sitting in a boat close to shore, the people standing on the shore listening to what he had to say. When he had ceased speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." In my Bible, I have underlined in this fifth verse three little words, three one-syllable words. At thy word. At thy word. I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners who were in the other boat, that they should come and help them. They came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. I have a few thoughts I'd like to share with you about Peter's reaction to the Master's instruction. When the Lord ceased speaking to the multitude, the crowd there in the land of the seashore, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." He knew that they were washing their nets. Nets were nice and clean now. And he gave this instruction to Peter, who could have and should have followed these instructions carefully, meticulously, and immediately. Instead of saying, "All right, Lord, I'll do that. I'll do it right away." He had a little argument. He says, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." In other words, we are experts at this business. Fishermen for many years. We know the lake. We know the time of day that's best for fishing. And we know that having toiled all night and taken nothing, it's practically useless to attempt to go fishing at this time. You've given us these instructions, Lord, but, you know, we are the experts. And we know exactly what should be done and when it should be done. Then he thought about his own thoughts. And he says, "Nevertheless, at your word, because you say so." And here we have a little delayed obedience with his argument. But we also have a little disobedience. The Lord told him to let down the nets. "You guys have been washing your nets all night." Plural. "But at your word," Peter says, "I will let down the net." That's why when the miraculous draught of fishes was taken, the net broke. If he had done exactly what the Lord had instructed him to do, then he would not have had that problem of breaking net. But in spite of a broken net, they enclosed a great number of fish. I believe with all my heart, it pays to obey the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is pure. The word of the Lord is clean. The word of the Lord is accurate. And I believe that the people of God need to listen carefully to the word of God. How important it is that we have Bible study. How important it is that we travel together. My dear Bible and I visited a hospital not very long ago and visited a dear lady who was quite ill, and I had in my pocket a New Testament and also a Gospel of St. John, which I intended to leave at the hospital in case anyone who needed to read from the Word would have it handy. So when I visited this dear lady and I asked her, well, she's a Christian, a believer, one of our assemblies, I said, "Well, where's your Bible?" She said, "It's at home."
Then what? You're sick. You've come to hospital. You pack a toothbrush. You brought all the necessary toilet items that you need during your stay here. And you left your Bible at home. He says, well, I figured that the people who are coming to see me, they would bring their own Bible. And I reminded her of the poem I learned as a small child. We will travel together. Going to the hospital. Going away for the weekend. Going for vacation. Traveling overseas or river. Packing our bags for a trip. I believe one of the most important things to put in your luggage, to carry on your person, to see to it that it is with you wherever you go, is the Bible. Do you agree? We need this. We need not just to have it with us, but we need to read it. And to read it carefully. To read it carefully and prayerfully. I heard a dear preacher say some time ago, it's wise to not only read the Word, but to read the words there. Every word is important. Here in Luke chapter 5, every word that the Master spoke, talking to Simon, every word was important. Let down your nets for a draught. Instead of listening carefully and carrying out these instructions implicitly, he just figured, well, I got the message, but he didn't get it clearly. Clearly, the Lord says, let down your nets. And I believe it's necessary that we pay strict attention to what is written in the Word. It will be a help. It will bolster you, strengthen you. In time of need, you will find that the Word of God will prove to be effective in keeping you from the snares of the devil. Now, I told you about something that was written in my friend's Bible up there in Toronto, Ontario. I'm going to read for you something that is written in my Bible. And this is not original, but it expresses the sentiments of my own heart, and it has been a blessing to me. This book, that's on the flyleaf of my Bible. This book will keep me from sin. Or, sin will keep me from this book. You get that? This book will keep me from sin. Or, sin will keep me from this book. Sometimes I wonder, why is it so many Christians seem to have lost interest in Bible study? Why is it so many of the Lord's people do not attend ministry meetings? Why is it so many of the Lord's people, if we were to take a survey and get accurate information as to how many believers have a quiet time set apart every day for the reading of the Word of God, we'd be surprised to see a lot of Christians, if we be honest, a lot of believers don't seem to have time for the reading of Scripture. I know a couple who live right here in Florida, a fairly well-to-do couple, and they've been having serious domestic problems. You ever heard of a husband and wife who fight and fuss and quarrel and fume? Okay. That's this couple. Troubles. Some of their troubles land them even in the court. And some of their troubles create havoc in their family. I was talking with them one day, and I asked the husband, I say, do you and your wife have a quiet time of prayer? You bow before the Lord and read His Word every day? He had a long explanation to give me. We don't have time. We have different jobs. She goes her way and I go, and we start very early in the morning. And we really have no time for that. I say to him, if you have no time to pray, if you have no time to read the Word of God, if you're too busy to do that, you're really too busy. But this, in my humble estimation, is more important to us. This should be more important to us than anything else. In the book of Job, read of God's servant saying that he desired his word more than his necessary food. And you know, food is necessary for us. It's necessary and it's vital that we take care of the body. But it is even more important to take care of the spiritual man. We need the Word of God, which is food for us and drink for us. Simon Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. At thy word, what God has spoken is important. What God has spoken should be thought of as something that needs our attention. There was a young college graduate who was promised a present. On graduation, Daddy says, I'm going to give you a brand new automobile because I'm proud of you, my son. Giving you a brand new automobile as a graduation gift. Okay, Dad, look forward to that. When are we going to select it? And they decided on a date and a time to go down to the dealership, and they looked at the various models and decided on one specific model and color, etc. And day of delivery is going to be a cash deal. And the father negotiated and argued and bargained with the salesman and made all the arrangements for the delivery of this exquisite graduation gift. Well, the night of the graduation, there was no car, no gift. The son says to Dad, Dad, what about my graduation present? Dad says, oh, I have it here. Your graduation present. And he handed him a nice little package. He says, that's it. He says, Dad, that's not what you promised me. I said, but Dad says, listen, boy, this is more. This should be more to you than anything else in the whole wide world. But Dad, did we arrange? Yes, we did. But I am telling you, this is what you need more than anything else. He took the little gift, the little book. He dumped it in his bag. Never opened it. He was so upset. He thought he was going to get a check. He thought he was going to get the money to go pick up the car. But no, he got a book. And he didn't bother to open the book. Till years after, left home and he takes this little package within his graduation gift and it's among his clothes. And one day, he said, let me see what book this is that's so important to Dad to give me for graduation. Open it, and there was a check in it for the exact amount he had bargained for, but was outdated. He was thinking all the time, Dad had done me dirt. But you know, I believe, even though that man was so disappointed, that young man, he was so upset not getting the gift that he thought. He was getting something more valuable, and the gift that he thought he should have gotten was right there within the pages of that Bible. Brethren and sisters, God has given to us a wonderful treasure, God's great gift without measure. May we always travel together, my dear Bible and I. When they let down the net, when they launched out into the deep. And that is an exercise that many Christians many of us need to do, an exercise, launch out into the deep. We are accustomed to coming into the Bible chapel. Thank God for the Bible chapel. Thank God for the work that is done here in this building. But I believe that there are a lot of fish out in the deep. There are a lot of fish in the open air. A lot of fish in the schools. A lot of fish in the business places. A lot of fish in the malls around South Florida. There are a lot of people that need to be reached and won for the Lord. And may God give us the grace. May God give us the willingness. May God give us the courage and the strength to launch out into the deep, because it is His mind and His will that we should let down the net. His mind and His will that we should give a crack. His mind and His will that we should witness to His saving grace and His keeping power. And He has given us His word. I was at a conference some time ago, and I'll never forget hearing a dear servant of God say, referring to the Holy Scriptures, he says, "This book is perfect. Add nothing to it. Take nothing from it. And change nothing in it. Add nothing to it. Take nothing from it. Change nothing in it." I sat with a dear brother on the island of Jamaica, and I showed him from the Word of God that his attitude toward another brother in the fellowship was totally wrong. And I don't know if you have ever met a Christian who had tremendous animosity and actual hatred in his heart for someone else who named the name of Christ. This brother says, "Pray for me that God will give me grace not to kill him." Speaking of another man in fellowship, that God will give me the grace not to kill him. And I opened the scripture and I showed him what the Lord had to say on the subject. Some of what the Lord had to say. And I said to him, "He shouldn't be your enemy, he should be your friend, because he's your brother. But even if he were your enemy, and he's hungry, you should feed him. If he's thirsty, you should give him drink. You should be a help to him, you should befriend him, you should love him." You know what he said to me, "Brother Harp, it can't happen so. That can never take place in my heart or in the hearts of anybody else. It can't happen so." I said, "This is the Word of God. And God means what He says, and He says what He means." I do believe with all my heart that God has a solution right here in His Word for any problem we could ever face. He has a remedy for all that ails us, and He can answer all of our questions. Peter, no doubt, had a sleepless night, toiled all night. He caught nothing. But he knew his master's voice, and he made some response. The instructions came from the Lord. In the 29th Psalm, 7 times we read in that passage about the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord, what it can do. The people who were standing on the shore, they pressed near, or pressed upon him to hear the word of God. And he taught the people. When we come to the Hollywood Bible Chapel, I trust that we come not just to hear who ministers the word, not just to hear the evangelist or the Bible teacher, not just to hear what the brethren have to say, but I trust that we come to hear what the Lord has to say. Because He has something to say to each individual as he spoke to Peter, called him by name, Peter, Simon Peter. Launch out into the sea, let down your nets for a draught, gave him explicit instructions, and may we have ears attuned to his voice. Lord, what are you saying to me tonight? What are you telling me? What is it that I need to do? Lord, I need to hear from you. Very often, God speaks to us as we open his word. This is his voice talking to us here in his word. And some passages of scripture may be a little difficult to interpret. Sometimes we don't understand it very clearly, but he has given to us his blessed Holy Spirit to instruct and to lead and to guide us. So may we be attentive to his voice. May we be obedient to his voice and do exactly what he tells us to do. So he speaks to individuals. He spoke to Adam, and since that time he has been speaking to his people all through the ages. He spoke to Eve. He spoke to Cain. He spoke to Moses face to face. He spoke to Abram. The word of the Lord came to Joshua, to all these people. God's word came to them, and God's word is still going out, speaking to individuals. Now, whatever your situation is, whatever your problem is, remember, God is saying something to you. God has a message for you. May we have ears to hear. Because today's obedience to God's word, today's obedience guarantees tomorrow's blessing. When the blessing of a great draught of fishes came, I can imagine Peter saying, well, a whole lot of people are going to be blessed from this catch. He can think of his own family. He can think of his own friends. He can think of the people in the marketplace who are going to sell this fish. A whole lot of people are going to be blessed from this catch. Delayed obedience or partial obedience always creates problems. My wife and I were visiting in a certain home a couple of years ago. And there was a little girl in that home. I would say she must have been about 6 or 7 years of age. And other visitors were there, sitting in the comfortable living room, having adult talk. And while we're conversing, the father of the house, our host, he says to his daughter, honey, it's bedtime for you. You know what the little girl responded? She says, I don't think so, Daddy. I'm ready to stay here a little longer. Father says, it's bedtime though. She says, when I'm tired, I will go to bed. But you're tired right now. No, I'm not. When I'm tired, I promise you, I go to bed when I'm tired. Now, if that little girl had been my little girl, I don't think I would have to tell her it's bedtime. All I'd have to do is show her my watch or the clock or nod, and she'd know what I meant. See? But Daddy just relaxes and the girl stays another 10, 15 minutes with no intention of going to bed. Dad reminds her again, honey, it's bedtime. I told you already that when I'm tired, I'll go to bed. Stubborn little brat. Oh, how she needed a little help. And you know, this is supposed to be a Christian home. The Lord will hold us responsible for the way we train our children or our grandchildren. Some of us are a little reluctant to say anything to hurt the grandchildren, but we got to be careful that the children are taught. First lesson, obedience. Peter, partial obedience. I heard a mother say to her daughter some time ago, delayed obedience is really disobedience. Peter delayed a little with an argument. And his obedience was incomplete. But he let down the net. They caught some fish. Big draft of fish. I believe that the Lord wants to encourage us with a draft of fish. He wants to encourage us by seeing precious souls reached and won. Fishes being brought in the net. May God help us to understand that these nets have to be clean, washed, clean, free from debris. Our nets have to be mended. If there's any hole there, the fish will escape. See to it that we have nets in good order. And we be active and prepared to launch out and let down the net. In families, let down the net. In schools, let down the net. To our business associates, you never can tell. As you plant the seed, as you witness for the Lord, which seed will prosper and which will bring forth fruit for His honor and His glory. At thy word, because God said it, we believe it, and that should settle it. God says it, I believe it, that settles it. Sometimes when we come to church doctrine, church truth, the instructions given concerning the church, and what the people of God should do or should not do, some folk don't appreciate that. They think of it as being narrow. They think of us as being bigoted. If you tell folk that there's just one way to heaven above, only one way to life eternal, to heaven and home, they say, oh, you're narrow-minded. They say that in this enlightened age, we have to understand that all roads lead to God. Anybody with that philosophy is way off base. There's only one way to heaven and home. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your word. And because you give us your word, because you give us explicit instructions concerning your will, your plans, and your desire for our lives, we pray, Lord, that you will help us to be obedient. Even if things seem unreasonable to us or unnecessary, may we understand what you are telling us as we read your holy word. May we have ears to hear. May we have eyes to see. And may we have hearts to understand. And may we have an obedient